even in the brilliance of her flashlight. Did he infect me? Noxious liquid burned her eyes and fouled her mouth. Despite its awful taste, she swished, gargled, and spat. The pool brush scraped at her hair. She grabbed it and used it to scrub her head and face herself. "He wouldn't stop," she shouted before coughing and spitting. "He never got closer than my knees. Maybe I'm okay." Soldiers hoisted the impermeable crimson bag, covered in prickly black biohazard symbols, by loops at its corners, and carried away her tent, parka, and backpack, along with Travkin's remains. The faint rays of her flashlight shone blood red through its plastic. Buckets of cold water cascaded over her head.
"Jesus!"
One after another.
"Ah!"
Her chest seized so tight she couldn't even breathe. A tall French medic extended a blanket at the end of the pole. She wrapped herself in it, but could force no words past locked jaws. The medic draped a second blanket over her head and waved away Russian soldiers' rifles. In the distance and upwind, the World Health Organization's Surge Team 1 and her own Surge Team 2, which had just arrived that day, watched in grim silence. From the shadows, all witnessed their worst fears materialize as the grip of rigid infection control protocols seized a colleague.
"Hang tough, Emma. You can do it. You can beat it."
Their accents were varied, but their theme was consistent. "Farewell, Emma Miller." She cried as she stumbled barefoot across hard ground, her feet already numb. The medic kept his distance, but illuminated her path with a lantern. Emma heard disturbing noises with each jarring misstep that must have emanated from her. She asked where they were going. The French medic replied, "Quarantine." Her destiny was now binary. Either she'd contracted the new disease, whatever the hell it was, or not. Like a prisoner in a Roman Colosseum, Emma awaited her thumbs up or thumbs down. Whirring sounds grew louder, air pumps at quick erect isolation shelters. Travkin had been hustled into one after fighting off the suicidal attack on their landing zone. Emma had watched from a distance and upwind as he, too, had been stripped and scrubbed. But the shelters had been off limits when she'd come to thank him. 7 hours later, eyes black, it had been Travkin who visited Emma. The isolation shelters reminded Emma of the bouncy house her brother rented for her nephew's 12th birthday. Emma and her twin sister, tipsy from the wine at the grown-ups' table, had giggled and jumped like schoolgirls. But those playpens maintained their shape by positive pressure. Isolation shelters were the opposite, held up by poles as their tainted miasma was sucked out through HEPA filters, removing micron-sized particles 100 air changes an hour. Negative pressure kept germs from escaping the openings.
"What about the other guy?"
she asked in vibrato, shivering.
"I don't want to catch it from him.
Corporal Leskov died," the medic replied.
"Oh, God. Please, I'll be good. Please."
"Okay. Focus. Concentrate. Science."
"Blown pupils," she said, can be from intracranial pressure."
Her sister Isabel, a neuroscientist, had once told her about that phenomenon.
"How'd Travkin get out?"
"He attacked my medical team," replied a new man, also with a French accent, also in PPE, who arrived to escort them the last few meters to the bouncy houses. "Fractured my doctor's windpipe."
The open-air site of the mobile isolation ward was brightly lit.
"Eye gouging and asphyxiation for one medic." Emma lay on a gurney, as bidden. "Broken neck for the other."
They peeled away her blankets. Emma reflexively covered her breasts and pubis. Gas heaters bathed her in blessed warmth.
"You're lucky to be alive."
Emma scoffed at any mention of her good fortune, emitting a puff of fogged breath. A wireless blood pressure cuff squeezed her biceps. A thermometer.